If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews for starters. Hebrews chapter 12 today, in the time that we have remaining. We give preeminence to the Word of God. Amen. The Word and the Spirit agree. Usually you go to a church and there will be a certain pattern of what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing through prophecy, possibly through tongues or interpretation, through a psalm, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, in the altar, during the worship. We've had an active morning already, haven't we?
Hallelujah.
We've had an active morning. People testifying about baptism and baptism. I want to tell you that, you know what? God's alive. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is alive, very much so. Surprised we got the Inmans to come in from the camping trip, but praise the Lord, God's on the throne. Amen. Today I want to talk to you guys for just a few short minutes this morning about being the resistance. I believe that we're the resistance that stands against all of the putrefaction that's coming against this earth and this world. We are the ones that stand in the gap. We're the intercessors. We are the church of the living God. We're the resistance. We're a unique military fighting force that stands in the way of the enemy. And today I'm in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Don't stone me, I'm reading out of the ESV for a second here, just because it gave me a different little look on this, okay? So I'm going to read it out of that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, would you be with us this morning? Let the Holy Spirit talk to us and teach us. Help us to speak that which we're supposed to speak and not a word more. And Father God, we just praise you for what you're doing, God, in us, in the state, on radio, God, all around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God wants us to lay aside that sin which so easily besets us in the King James. And to run with endurance, to be like an endurance runner against all these things that are trying to weight us down. And to take off every weight so that we could run stronger. In verse 2 it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We can go to the right hand all the time. Amen. He says, boldly come to the throne room of grace. Consider him who endured. There's the second endurance word. He who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Church, that's our sin against God. He endured that so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted, in case you're experiencing that this morning. It's an encouragement to you. Consider him. Remember what he endured so that your endurance doesn't seem so bad. Amen. He went to the cross to endure something for you so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Have you? Has anybody gone ultimately to the cross? Did anybody go to a personal Gethsemane where you prayed tears, where you prayed until blood droplets pooled on the ground? Has anybody been there yet? I know you guys, everybody's got a story. I hear it all the time. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what my life was like. You don't know the abuse that I felt. You don't know the drug addiction. You don't know all these things. Well, I want to tell you, you have not resisted unto blood striving against sin yet, okay? You haven't been there yet. We're all striving against sin. And in that ESV, it just says it a little bit differently. It says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. You haven't been to that place yet, but we are against sin. Amen? We're the people that stand against sin. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the Jesus that stands against sin. He said he would save his people from their sins. Amen?
Amen?
He would turn them from their sins. He would set them free from their sins. He would forgive their sins. He would break every chain and every shackle that would hold us back. 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Everybody say discipline. nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. He chastises every son in whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Discipline, 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 discipline. Do you see that? All the references there? Verse 8, if you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? 10, for they disciplined us. Man, there's like 10 references to discipline. Amen. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. There's another reference. For at the moment all discipline, everybody say discipline now, seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, by the discipline. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. If you walked in here today and you're drooping and you're just feeling overwhelmed and you're running the race, but maybe the weights are weighing you down, that the sin is trying to beset you, and you're supposed to consider him who endured all these things that you don't grow weary. Church, I'm telling you, if you're droopy this morning, and you need to be strengthened today. You need to make straight paths for your feet. Verse 13, so that which is lame be not put out of joint. Rather, let it be healed. My God wants to heal you today. Amen. He wants to touch you in the house of God. 14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Let no root of bitterness spring up that causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Let no one become sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who would sell his birthright, which is to be born, literally born again. That's in New Testament translation, for a single meal. Church, don't be that person that's going to sell out to fornication or pornography or adultery or to sell your relationship out with God for some measly little meal that you think is going to feed you one time and one time alone. Don't let it be that. Don't sell out. Don't sell out your birthright. For 17, for you know afterward when he desired to inherit the blessing of God, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Wow. I don't think he's in heaven today. George, I want to talk to you guys a little bit this morning. And that intro thought is that there's such a gravity to sin right now. There's always been this gravity that's pulling every single one down. I guarantee you, any one of you guys jumped this morning. I saw some of you jump, but you didn't jump very high. You just keep getting pulled back down. Turn to 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament with me, and let's go there for a second. Sorry, we're reading some scripture, but I want to look at this. Set the stage. Here's some end times stuff for all you end times people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, King James. You ready? Say amen. Amen. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. Say deceive you. By any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Underline first. That's the first thing that's going to happen. And that man of sin be revealed. And the son of perdition, that is the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Now that's not just hypothetical. That becomes literal when he's going to sit upon a throne. That's going to be in Jerusalem. Okay? The Antichrist has not done that, and he hasn't gathered the worship of the world yet, okay? But that is going to happen. Are you with me? Do you believe that? Say amen if you do.
Amen. 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth. Everybody say, what withholdeth? For that he might be revealed in his time. Something is withholding this event, this Antichrist coming to the fore, from happening. Something is keeping him. Something is resisting that. Because 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the spirit of the Antichrist has been around since before Christ. It's always been there. But this is talking about the manifestation of evil into one man. Only he, I'm in 7 part B, we're in 7B. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Go ahead and underline until he be taken out of the way. There is something restraining and holding back, verse 3, what it says, a great falling away first. You guys are living in the great falling away, okay? You guys are here today in the great falling away. But that happens first. Then the son of man, or then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 8, go to verse 8. Stay right with me on this, okay? And then, so in 7, something is taken out of the way. Something is restraining. Something is withholding. Something is holding back. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they rejected not the love of the truth. They will be deceived because they rejected the love of the truth. Sorry, because they receive not the love of the truth. Thank you. They receive, and they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why every single person is going to be deceived that receives not the truth of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the love of God, the indwelling Jesus Christ. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. Everybody say strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. God's sending them strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. That they all might be, what? Damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I guarantee you that God is going to see fit that everybody saved is going to be saved. Everybody that will not be saved is going to be damned, because he will make sure he's sending a strong delusion that people would be deceived that did not love the truth, did not receive the truth into their heart. And so, church, I want to bring this back to an urgency to the hour for just a second. And you have to realize that the mystery of iniquity is working just as well as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the end time pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And there's two rivers that are flowing. One's evil and one's good. And you guys need to get on the right one, okay? And I guarantee you what you just witnessed in this church was the right one, okay? Because that's the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. But outside these four walls, it's the mystery of iniquity. And I tell you what, I've never seen it so strong in all my life. Let me just tell you a little bit. Single people are just dying to be married. Married people want out, and they're seeking their way out. People that I know and counsel, there's people that are going through horrible divorces right now. And the wife is just going one direction, or the husband is just going one direction, and it's not with the believing party. Sexual adultery and fornication is rampant right now. Diseases are hitting and plaguing the body of Christ. Cults are rampant. There are people that we know and love that are being pulled away into Mormonism and other isms in this hour. Pornography, divorce, demons, dementia is hitting people we know and love. There's darkness. Debt is crushing people. Finances people are starting to love the love of money more than the work and the love of God. Hell is everywhere. There's deception on a global scale. And this is all before God sends the strong delusion. But in the midst of that, I want you guys to know there is something that is holding back. I believe it's the Church of the Living God. I believe we are salt and light. Amen.
I believe we're the salt of the earth. I believe we're the light of the world. We're a city that's kept upon a hill by the golden lampstand and the Holy Spirit flowing oil through us, keeping us alive, giving us power, giving us fire, sprinkling us with blood, washing us, redeeming us, strengthening us all the time. But I want you guys to know we're just minutes and moments before the strong delusion hits this world so that all might be damned who believe not the truth. Because they receive not. There is going to be a moment when that Antichrist is unleashed on this earth with all deceivableness and lying wonders, and people are going to line up to take the mark of the beast. They're going to say, "Sign, show me where to sign." And they're going to think for the first at least 3.5, they're going to think that he is God upon this earth, and he is going to be worshipped as God as he sits down in Jerusalem upon the throne. Church, that's going to happen. But for the moment, and I believe during this dispensation of grace where God is dealing with his church, my God, the God of heaven and earth has poured out his Holy Spirit. There's going to still be people saved during tribulation. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. There's going to be a great and mighty move during the tribulation to see all of Israel come into heaven. But right now, God is dealing with his church. God is dealing with his church. And I want to tell you, if you're going to walk through this road till the end, it's going to take something. And what God put upon my spirit the other day was this. So to walk in dominance and to walk in dominion, to walk in dominance, it's going to take discipline. It's going to take discipline. All the disciplines we just heard about in the Hebrews passage. He says, if you're walking in here, this, that, and the other, it's time that you be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're walking in here feeble-kneed and feeble-bodied and you just don't know how you're going to make it, and guess what? There's weights and sins, and you're fighting against sin. Anybody else fighting against sin? Man, I had a bout this week with sin, S-I-N. Anybody else?
Amen.
I think if you're honest, you're probably with me on that one, okay?
Yeah.
Do you ever get weary just fighting against sin? And then condemnation comes in and all these other things come in and just try to crush you and for you to just be hating everything? Dear God, God wants to set us free from those things. So to walk in dominance is going to take disciplines. Disciplines that God put into this Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God today? Amen?
Amen.
Church, we need it. I want to tell you this. Because of discipleship, put your Sundays on the map in your life. Amen? Put your Wednesday nights on the map in your life. Put prayer meeting on the map in your life. Hebrews 10:25, you can put it up on the board if you would, please. Hebrews 10:25, I'm going to preach it, whether we like to hear it or not. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Ethan, can I get an amen? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more. Everybody say, so much more get together. So much more assembly. Amen. So much more come together in the presence of the Almighty One and feel the glory of the Almighty God. So much more as you see what day approaching? That day, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anything take you away from the things of God, because that would be apostasy. The word right there is apostasy, or a great falling away from the faith that was once given to the saints. Are you with me in that?
Amen.
Well, okay. Church, tithe. Tithe for the right reasons. Tithe to take God's kingdom throughout this earth. Amen. Tithe and give for God's blessing. Be stewards of body, soul, and spirit. Go to sleep at night. Alex, you and me got to go to bed at night. Amen. So we can get up in the morning and seek the face of God. Amen. Eat right, church. Cut out the sugar. Don't drink so much Mountain Dew. Man, as a young man, when I was your age, if I drink a Mountain Dew, I could just bet on lustful thoughts. I'm talking about chemicals. I'm talking about stuff that you're putting in your body. Be a steward of body, soul, and spirit. Number two, to walk in dominance is going to take unity. The Bible says that God is going to command the blessing where he sees unity. The National Day of Prayer, they call for unity. They say, we've never seen such a divided America as this, as the hour in which we live in right now. America's never been more divided. It's never been in more peril than it is right now. And you know what? We need unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to endeavor to keep the unity of the body together in and through these days that are hard days, tough days. We need the unity of the Spirit, because there God commands the Holy Ghost blessing of the Lord. There God commands when two or more walk together in agreement, when we get into one accord and in one mind, and when there's one heart, and when there's one focus, and our one focus is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Church, are you with me today?
Amen.
We need unity of the Holy Spirit. We need unity of the Word of God. We need unity of the power of God. We need to see a move of God, of the Holy Spirit in the churches. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us and leads us and guides us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the mind of Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Church, we've got to reach out to a world that's lost. We've got to reach out to the world out there dying in that moral decline, falling and fading and literally dying of dementia and disease and every other thing that is out there right now, crushing people. How many of you know there's demons around here? Do you think the natural man is going to be able to impact that world? No, it's got to be you and me filled with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, amen? It's got to be the glory of God that's dealing with men and women. It's got to be Jesus preaching through us, touching, stretching out His hand, and seeing the sick recover.
Amen.
It's got to be Jesus in this day and hour. We've got to reach out, and we've got to help a lot of people. I want to tell you, there's such apostasy in the land right now. We've talked about it on Wednesday night. We have to reach out to the church in this day and in this hour and help the church. Amen? Not to condemn the church, but to bring the church up and to help people to get back on solid rock again. Come on, you guys, get in the ark. Come on, get to the place where there's safety and there's a foundation, and it's based upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Based upon the apostles and the prophets and the doctrines of the Word of God. We've got to get the church back to the foundation where it can be the pillar and ground of truth again.
Amen.
Amen or oh me. That's the truth of the living God. We've got work to do. The Bible says one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. We've got to get back, because we're the resistance. We're what's withholding. We are what is withholding the Antichrist spirit from totally plunging this world into absolute and total darkness. Are you with me in that? We're the ones that are resisting sin. Are you guys trying to sin? Are we just going, you know, before I got saved, it was just open those doors. Here I come. Are you ready? Hut, hut, hike. I'm going into that sin. I'm flying into that world of sin. Nothing's going to stop me now, okay? Nothing can break my stride, okay? Nobody going to slow me down. Nobody going to hold me down. I'm going into that world. But something in me got in me good when I got born again, Ren. And Jesus Christ don't want me to do that anymore. He's holy, righteous, just, and true. He's created me in righteousness and true holiness. He doesn't want me to sin like that anymore. Amen. There's something in me that's good and pure and holy. And it's in you too today. Amen. And it fights against sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It breaks shackles and it breaks chains. And it allows us to be saved and born again and to take on the attributes and the personality of our Father Jesus, who is holy and just and meek and righteous and full of grace and mercy. Amen. I tell you what, that's the only goodness in this room, is the measure that you have of Jesus Christ in this house today. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm glad that Jesus gives me the opportunity to be full.
Amen.
Then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Paul filled with the Holy Ghost. Then the disciples who were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then the plural, the Greek word's plural, okay? It means filled. It means so filled, so filled, so filled. It means so filled that it's more than running over. It's literally baptized into the Holy Spirit. It's literally you're plunged into the power of God. Then Peter, then Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, gets up and preaches. Then Peter preaches and 5,000 get saved. 3,000 get saved. Then they get filled again in Acts chapter 4, and they stretch out their hand to heal. And my God, the community can't stop them. And they go everywhere preaching the gospel, endued with the power from on high. And my God, they take it to the cities. They take it to Omaha. Amen. They take it to Lincoln. They take it to Sioux City. They take it to Front Street. They take it to the bar. They take it to the club. They take it everywhere they go. And everywhere they go, signs follow them that believe. In my name, amen. In the name of Jesus, we're going to cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, we're going to speak with new tongues. In the name of Jesus, we'll take the serpents off every single person in this room. My God, serpents, I'm talking about serpents and scorpions. I'm talking about sins that so easily beset us. And we're going to rip the serpent off and chuck it on the fire like Paul did, amen. And you're going to be set free by the power of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. We can either walk with serpents or we can take off serpents and scorpions. We can plunge them under. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Set them on fire. Amen.
Amen.
We could set the world on fire. Isn't that what the early church did? Yeah, they did. They went everywhere preaching a gospel that was not contained in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, and with demonstration they went everywhere preaching this gospel. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, how we need again to stand up in this power and in this anointing in the day and age in which we live. I guarantee you the mystery of iniquity is totally demonic. So something that is totally powerful over the demonic has to stand up against it. And I'm going to tell you the only thing that is Jesus by the blood and through the Spirit in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, amen. It's going to take, Lord Jesus, us. Full of love, full of forgiveness, full of mercy, and we don't know anything about it outside of Jesus, and you don't either. Joe, you don't know nothing about love, mercy, and forgiveness unless it's been taught to you by Jesus Christ. Agape flows from God. It doesn't emanate in us. There ain't enough morality or goodness out here to ever get there. But we get it from God. And he gives us this, I command you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That is the greatest witness, church, to know that everyone knows that you are my disciples because of the way you love one another. So much love that you pray for your enemies. So much love that you preach repentance to a world in love. Amen. We speak the truth in love. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So much that we take up our cross and follow after Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we knew he said, follow me. Hallelujah. So much so that we would go and make disciples of all the earth. I was going to show you a film today. It's called Every Home for Jesus. It's basically going... Literally, Dick Eastman's ministry, it's kind of a door-knocking ministry. And they tell everybody, they go to every home, Africa, China, India, everywhere, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everyone has the opportunity to know Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, God is showing us strategically how to reach this area for Christ. He's going to show us how to reach the state of Nebraska. I mean that. God is strategically showing us right now, and I mean me, And I believe another brother from Columbus, how to raise up the men, the people, into churches and bodies and groups and new churches starting, and I'm so excited about it. And it's just days away. Church, it's going to take deliverance from sin. It's going to take a gospel that can deliver you from your sin. Do you believe that this gospel has the power to deliver you from your sin?
Amen.
From your besetting sins and from every weight that holds you back, okay? This gospel is the answer. The blood of Jesus is the answer. Amen?
Amen?
The blood of the Holy One is the answer. Jesus Christ was your answer. Jesus, the sinless substitute, is your answer today in this hour. He alone has the power to set you free from your sins. Do you believe it?
Amen.
He alone went to the cross. God, by the wonderful love of God, sent down His Son, Jesus, upon that cross to be your substitute, literally to pay your sin debt. Dad, he took everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever dreamt, everything you've ever done, everything that wasn't the will of God, wasn't of faith. He took all of that, and your sin kept him and held him there. Your sin held him as he was scourged by 600 Roman soldiers, and his back was riven and his side was pierced. It was you and me, and he was our substitute. He became our substitute. I look at Leslie and you'd think Leslie could never probably sin. But he went there for Leslie. He went there for Karen. He went there for Dylan. Jesus paid. He paid an offering. God paid an offering in Jesus Christ that would be equivalent to what he was purchasing. Now, this is something I just studied. He paid an offering that was equivalent to what he wanted to buy back. God had to get something of great value to buy something back of great value. Now think about that for a second. God took Jesus Christ, which was of great value to the Father, and he gave that Son of great value to buy you back. To buy you back, Lane. To buy you back, Roger. You say, well, yeah, one's quality, but the other one's a waste. The other one's a wretch. A poor, wretched, miserable, blind. You know what I'm saying? So God took something of great, which fulfilled the majesty of his holiness, the majesty of his law, the majesty of his goodness, which kept everything, every jot and tittle of the word of God, who was absolutely sinless. God came through on his side, amen? So he brought to you a sacrifice that would appease the holy courts of heaven above, the holy courts of an almighty God, and my God who never broke a law, who kept the law, and he gave him perfectly as your sacrifice, and he kept him there and punished him there with nails and scourges and crowns of thorns until it was accomplished, until Jesus Christ gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. And in time and in eternity, he saw a Mary Karras that would come to Jesus Christ and believe in him. And guess what? God held him there long enough to take your sins and your guilt and your punishment and your crime. Kay Harden, you're the exact same way. It was your sin. Caleb, it was your sins that held him there. Do you see it, church? Do you see it? Do you see it, church? That he became our substitution that we might go free. But my God, I want to tell you, he did such a good job of it that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen? Jesus was so perfect, so complete, so righteous, so holy. What Jesus did on the cross broke the back of the devil forever and set every man free. Amen? It led captivity captive. It gave gifts to men. It set the whole world free. Amen. And now we can be risen with Christ. Hallelujah. And we don't have to sin anymore. Amen. I'm telling you, we don't.
That's right.
We don't have to, brothers. Absolutely. We've been set free by the blood and by the power of his wonderful holy name and by faith alone in Christ Jesus. My God, Karen, as I walk in faith, I'm not sinning. It's when I don't walk in faith and then I start to sin. That old nature just leaps up and grabs me, you know that? That old carnal mind and everything else. But man, when I'm stirred in God, that's why you need to assemble together. So much the more as you see that day approaching. Why? Because of the onslaught of it, of the power of the devil outside these four walls. Why? Because the strong delusion that's gonna hit and literally destroy everybody with all deceivableness and lying. Church, do you see why God made these disciplines that will keep us until the end of time? Amen. Do you see why discipline of a good father is good for the sons? Do you see why the chastening, which sometimes isn't very fun at that moment, and we're all kicking dirt clods down the road, God, I don't really feel very good right now. I'm being disciplined. I'm being chastened by a God who loves me and is conforming me into his image and getting me ready for heaven. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Amen. My gosh, that place is going to be so rich. We're going to be walking on streets of gold and glory. Amen?
Amen.
We can't even imagine how good it's going to be. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has come into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for they that love him. Church, I'm telling you, we've got a great, great thing coming. We got a great, great thing right now. My God, I'm on page 5. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God is good. He's a delivering God. He's a conquering King. Church, I just want you to have what he has, what he's given, what he's paid for at Calvary. I just want you to know that even though the walls of Christianity are broken down, the gates are burned with fire. Nehemiah saw it in his day too, but he stood against it all. He said, man, I'm the king's cupbearer. I got to do something. I think he took his cape off and he said, you know what? I believe that if I just go and petition the king, that he'll let me go to rebuild all this. He'll let me go into the waste places. He'll let me go, and he'll let me stand up and be something. I'm just a cupbearer for the king. But my God, if the king will just let me go, I'll gather a bunch of people and we'll start building. A trowel in one hand, a sword in the other. Thank you, friend. And we'll start building this kingdom, and we'll start putting brick upon brick, and we'll start filling the gaps, and we'll start, you know what? We're going to build a program. We're going to build a ministry. We're going to put people together. We're going to give people jobs. There's going to be administration, aids, helps, gifts, all these different things. We'll build the church again of the living God. We'll restore the old waste places. Do you know this room used to have a bunch of three old cars that were dripping oil under it? This room had three old cars that were just dripping oil. I said, "Dear God, this would be a great youth. This would be a great youth place on the corner like this." God had other plans. Amen. God had other plans. We're going to restore all the old waste places through the mind of God, through the Spirit of God. Walked over to the radio station one day, said, "Do you have any time that we could preach the gospel on a Sunday morning?" They said, "Guess what?" They said, "Guess what? It's been held for the last 14 years, but it just opened up this week. You can have it now if you sign right here." I said, "I'll sign." Fast as my hand could write, because God sent me in there. Amen? Amen. Steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. We've gone to pray with people, seen people healed, seen people touched, seen eyes straightened out, seen breast cancer healed, seen all sorts of things in the will and in the presence of an almighty God. And if you let him, if we'll just let him, he'll show us where to put every footprint. Every single footprint can be led of the Lord. Amen. We can be led by the Spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Church, we got to become great stewards. Raise your hand if you're rich. Amen. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. Deuteronomy 8:18, if you pull it up for me today. God can hear us. Hallelujah. If you're rich in this place, like Ethan Burke, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." Everybody say, "Get wealth."
Amen.
God gave you the power to get wealth, okay? Don't think I'm going prosperity on you, but I am saying this, that he may establish his covenant. You know what his covenant is? If you have power, and God's given you power to be wealthy, and you all are, he has given you that you may establish his word of God, his covenant. New covenant into this earth, amen? To sow that precious word of God into this earth. That's why he's given you anything that he's ever given you, a mind, the ability to be able to work, anything. It's all for the glory of God, to the expansion of his kingdom. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
He is not here to see us build our own kingdoms. Oh, Lord God. He wants to establish his word of God into all this earth. So listen, I want to talk to the college kids for a second. I guarantee you this. You've got to decide whether you're going to stay up late, you're going to be on Facebook all night, and you're going to kill your tomorrow morning and your wake-up time with God. You've got to decide whether you're going to eat three plates of dessert and destroy your temperance and let the body and the flesh come alive and start to battle temptation in your own mind, you know? As you're sucking down 20 ounces of whatever else. You've got to decide. You've got to decide, church, if we're going to be lazy or if we're going to turn our house upside down to take what God has given us, whether it's big or small, and be faithful in the little things. Because how can we turn the world upside down if we can't even control our own house or our own people? Amen? Let's be faithful in the little things, and God will give us the bigger things. Amen? Church, are you guys going to take this word of God, and are you going to actually read it and let it become manna to your soul? Did you know they call this angel's food? It's still full of angel's food. Amen? This is angel food cake. You guys got to be eating this every single day of your life so you can grow up. Amen? And my God, when I read it, I want to tell you, just the reading of it for a little while, it's put hair on my chest. I tell you, it makes me grow up and mature. You know what I'm saying? I almost start to get a beard like Dan Hughes. It just starts to come out of me, man. I'm telling you, the strength of this. There's manna. This is angel's food from God. Sorry, Dan, I didn't mean to. Am I going to fill my belly, or am I going to be famished and in a dearth and in a drought and in a desert? Or am I going to be filled with power? Am I going to take the greatest gift that we have, listen, which is prayer? That's the greatest gift that we have to pull down strongholds. Amen? Our prayers are mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold. And church, are we going to pray? Are we going to ask? Are we going to seek? Are we going to knock? Don't you know that we've been sent by the King? Don't you know that we're the Nehemiahs of this day and this hour? Don't you know that we're the Elijahs of this day that call down fire from heaven upon a sacrifice that's laid out and see the miracle of God and see people worship God again? Church, don't you know that that's your calling and it's my calling today?
Amen.
Don't you know, like Daniel, who lived in Babylon, he set himself to pray every day. And rather than bow down to the culture, which we all have a choice to right now, Dad, he bowed down and he looked towards Jerusalem. He began to pray three times a day. And over that time period, I figured it out, Marlis, it was over 76,000 prayers, praying three times a day for those years of exile. He prayed 76,000 prayers, Andrea, to the Lord God. You think he was going to be denied? No. He made every single lion, when they threw him into the lion's den, he made that lion a pillow. Because nothing was going to touch the man of God. Church, it's time that we bow down and find the King again. Amen? It's time that we walk in holiness. It's time that we move in the power of God. And I believe, listen to me, please listen to me. God showed me years ago in 2002 and 3, two churches that would be born. One in Walled Hill, one in West Point. He said, you're not going to be the pastor of the one in Walled Hill. You're going to be the pastor of a different one. I said, nah, find somebody else. You found one, find somebody else. But God called me. Now listen, at the same time he gave us the radio. But what God is showing me right now, through the exact same way, he's not done showing me things. He's shown me things even through Stephen being here. Thank God for the evangelist. Amen?
Amen?
How it stirred the church. People filled with the Holy Ghost. People stirred. But God's showing me new things to reach the entire state of Nebraska. And to work with like-minded believers. And he's networking me with those believers. And guess what's going to happen? Are we standing in a church? See, God showed me that in 2003. Was the church there yet? Were the people even there yet? No. But you're here now, right?
Yeah.
What God's showing me is up the road a little bit, but I guarantee you, there's going to be a mighty move of God. If the Lord tarries, Ben, if the Lord tarries, man, we're going to see a mighty, mighty move of God. Until then, church.